This is Thanksgiving week. What are you thankful for? I suppose if we went around the room and let people talk about what they're thankful for, most of us would be thankful for our life, for our health, for our jobs, for our family, for our children, for our grandchildren, it's strange that I would mention grandchildren. I hadn't been mentioning that in the past, but anyway. But there's so many things to be thankful for, and I want to suggest an unusual one. I want to make a suggestion on what you ought to be thankful for, and then I want to talk about that, and then want to encourage you to do three different things. At the end of the service this week, I want you to do three different things. But what I want you to be thankful for, my suggestion on what you should be thankful for, you should be thankful for your giftedness. You should be thankful for your giftedness. You say, Lee, that's kind of strange that I'm thankful for me. Thank you, Lord, for me. And but that's what I want to talk about. Be thankful for your giftedness. You are a unique being. There's nobody else on the face of the earth like you. I shared with my Sunday school class today that I was unique. Everybody else called me weird, but I called it unique. I called it unique. And while most teenagers had problems with peer pressure and all that, I'm sure I did and didn't know it, but that was not a problem for me. I had a lot of problems, but it was not wanting to be like everybody else. I was selfish enough that I wanted to be like me. That's who I wanted to be, just me. And so I believe that God has gifted us. You are a unique being. Psalms 139:14 says, I will give thanks to you. Stop right there just a minute. I will give thanks to who? God. Why? Look at the next phrase. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. I am thankful for me. I am thankful that God made me the way He made me. You should be thankful that God made you the way He made you. Genesis 1:26-27 in part says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Then it says, God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. And it is true that we sinned, and there's a lot of bad things that happen as a result of our sin, but the fact still is that we were created in God's image. And there are a lot of things about you that are like God. There are a lot of things about you that are like God. Now, it's all mixed up with that curse of sin in there, but there are a lot of things about you. You are still made in God's image. And God shaped you. I'm going to have a play on that word, but God shaped you just the way He wanted you. God made you to be the very person He wanted you to be. And you need to be thankful for that, that you are you, that you have a purpose in life, that you are unique. You are different. God has something He wants you to do. God wants all of us to be saved, sanctified, and serving. God wants all of us to be saved, sanctified, and serving. Today we're just going to talk about the last one, serving. Okay? God wants you to be saved, sanctified, and serving. God has something that He wants you to do. He wants you to serve. He wants you to serve. And we should be thankful that God will allow me to be a part of His team. I'm smart enough to know He don't need me. You know? I think about the father who lets the little child help him work on his car or work on whatever. And he's more trouble than he's worth, isn't he? And I thank for God. We're more trouble than we're worth. But guess what? He wants us on the team. He wants us on the team. He wants us to be a part of the process. And He shaped us and gifted us so that we can do what He wants us to do. So you should discover your giftedness, your purpose in life, and you should develop that so you can use it to serve God. You should discover, what is it? What is it that God, how did God make me? How am I unique? How am I different than everybody else? God's giftedness does not come full grown. God's giftedness does not come full grown. He gave it to you, but you have to develop it. And so Acts 13:36 is just a fantastic verse. It's talking about, the context is, he's talking about, there was a prediction in the Old Testament that Jesus, the Messiah, was going to be raised from the dead. And there were some people kind of got it mixed up and thought they were talking about David. And the writer here talks about the fact it's not David. But what he says about David, the secondary meaning of this verse, is just absolutely fantastic. It says, for David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation and fell asleep and was laid among his fathers and underwent decay. The fact is that David was not resurrected from the dead. Not in the physical sense. Okay? But I want you to see the secondary meaning of this verse, what it says about David. And it says David served the purpose of God in his own generation. David served the purpose of God in his own generation. He did with his life what God wanted him to do with his life. And I just love that verse because David was not perfect. And Lee's not perfect. And you're not perfect. Right? And yet, the Bible says about him, he served the purpose of God in his own generation. He did what God wanted him to do in the time in which he lived. I think, you know, you don't hear see many tombstones with sayings on them anymore. Used to do that a lot, but I think that would be a great saying on my tombstone. He served the purpose of God in his generation. I don't think anything better could be said. I don't think there's a way to describe it, what I would like my life to be, than that right there. He served the purpose of God in his generation. He did what God wanted him to do. He did what God wanted him to do. The next question is, are you serving the purpose of God in your generation? Are you serving the purpose of God in your generation? And what I'm trying to do in today's Thanksgiving message is to help us to do that. To be able to say we are serving the purpose of God. I don't know, how many of you remember ALF in the 90s? There was a TV program, ALF. Some of you remember that? Well, he's a great theologian. But here's what Alf said. The secret to life is to find out what you don't do well and then don't do it. took a lot of research for me to find that quote, by the way. to find out what you don't do well and then don't do it. Shakespeare said it another way. Shakespeare said, know yourself. Know yourself. I'm trying to say it from a theological point of view that God made you unique and different. God shaped you the way He wanted you to be. And so we're going to review that shape thing that some of you have heard me go over before, the S-H-A-P-E. And I'm not good at spelling, so don't let me misspell it. But shape, we're going to talk about your shape. And so you need to discover what your shape is. You need to discover how God equipped you, how God made you, how God designed you, and what God wants you to do. And you should be thankful that God wants you on His team. You should be thankful that God made you in a special way. He wanted to use you, and He made you. This is what I want you to do, so this is how you need to be done, how you need to be made so you can do that. I'm not mechanical at all, and I'll talk about that more in a minute, but I do know that if you're doing a job, if you're doing any job, the big key is having the right tools. Almost any job, you have the right tools, and you're a long way down the road getting that job done. The S, shape, S-H-A-P-E, the S is for your spiritual gifts. If you are a Christian, this one does not apply if you're not a Christian, but if you are a Christian, you have spiritual gifts. At least one. Every Christian has spiritual gifts. You were not behind the door when God gave them out. You have a spiritual gift. Every one of you have spiritual gifts. And they are capacities for service. Something that God, if you are a Christian, something that God wants you to do, and He equipped you, He gave you the ability to do that. Now you do have to develop it. It doesn't come full grown, but you have to discover it and then develop it. And every one of you has spiritual gifts. The S is for spiritual gifts. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received a special gift, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. As each one, everyone received a special gift. Every one of you are gifted. I never could figure out, I'm not too bright anyway, I never could figure out, you have gifted classes at school. Sometimes they're talking about people who are extremely smart, and sometimes they're talking about people with learning disabilities. So I don't know which one to talk about, but I do believe that every person is gifted. I believe every Christian is gifted with spiritual gifts. This is the area God wants you to work in. This is what God wants you to do. This is where God wants you to develop this. This is where He wants to use you. He wants to use you the way He made you. He wants to use you the way He made you. The S was for what? Spiritual gift. The H is for heart. This is your passion, your interest, what you like. Somehow or another, we think God is a killjoy, and He's just up there saying, if you like to do that, we don't want you to do that. We want you to do something else. I think God will give you the desires of your heart. What He put there. Now, I know it's a mixture of sin stuff and all that. I understand all that. But I believe that down deep, God has put within you what He wants you to do. There's an interest that you have. There are certain people who are interested in working with older people. There are certain people who are interested in working with children. There are certain people who are interested in working with the disabled. There are certain people who are interested in working with the Boy Scouts. There are certain people, there are all kinds of areas, things that you are interested in. You know, I remember when I realized that there were a lot of people that I knew when I was in Bible college and left that decided to be missionaries. And most of them wanted to go to some foreign country and work out in the country, in some foreign country. You know what I mean by the country as opposed to the city? And many of those people wanted to do that because they just loved the outdoors. They just love fighting the elements and camping and all that stuff. I was never tempted to do that because I thought staying in a motel was about as tough as I wanted to get. You know, walking down the hall to get the ice was tough enough for me. So I didn't want to camp out and all that stuff. But those people that wanted to do that, they were interested in that. It wasn't like God called some guy that loved working in the office and said, I want you to leave the office and what I want you to do is go and work outside in the elements all the time. No, God made you the way He wants to use you. And the way He wants to use you is the way He made you. And so what's in your heart? Somebody come up to me and said, Lee, somebody ought to do this. Tell me what I say. You're somebody, right? And it's almost impossible to get another person to be excited about what the Lord laid on your heart. It's almost impossible to get somebody else excited about what the Lord laid on your heart. The easiest thing I know in the world to do is to figure out what somebody ought to do. I mean, I could sit down and make a list a mile long. Somebody ought to do this, and somebody ought to do that, and somebody ought to do something else. And I could just go on forever. But if the Lord laid it on my heart, guess who the Lord wants to do it? Me. So your heart. First your spiritual gift, now is your heart, your passion, what you're interested in. God wants to use you the way he made you. The third one, the third letter is A, which is abilities. And whether you're a Christian or not, you have certain abilities. Most of you have abilities in one of three areas: people, things, or information. People, things, or information. Two or three weeks, several weeks ago when I started the sermons on grace, I gave some personal illustration. I want to give two or three personal illustrations now to show you what I'm talking about, that we have different abilities. When I was a kid growing up, I loved cars and still do to some degree. I loved fast cars and all that. And so my aim as a kid, I wanted to be a race car driver or a mechanic. That's what I wanted to do. That's what I was interested in. That's what I love. In fact, even now, it bothers me that there's some of the cars that I had and I own that I don't have pictures of, because I was into cars and not cameras. You know, so I don't have... my dad, when I was 12 years old, my brother was 15 years old, my dad bought us a car. Never intended to put license on it. We lived on a farm. There were a lot of roads and stuff to back on the farm to drive. And my dad bought us that car because one of the reasons was... I wanted to be a mechanic so I could work on it. Never worked on it. I didn't enjoy working on it. None at all. I enjoyed driving it. But I didn't enjoy working on it. Yeah. For years, where I live now, next door, the grandson lived with them in a basement apartment. And he loved to work on cars. I mean, he got one or two what looked like new cars. They weren't absolutely brand new, but they were fairly recent cars. And the first thing he'd do was jack it up and take the wheels off. And then he'd get in and put new speakers in it. He was always working on the thing. My thought was, man, a car is to drive, not to work on. But he liked working on them. I grew up with, there was four or five of us that grew up in the same grade. And one of us, not me, loved to work on cars. He became an automobile mechanic and made a good living working on cars. In fact, my wife's dad, every time he'd try to work on his on the weekend and mess it up, he'd carry it to this fellow and let him fix it. it just came natural to him. Your car won't run in right, and you drive it up there and turn it on, let it listen to it, and 9 times out of 10, he could listen to it and tell you what's wrong with it like that. He was a things person. When I was a teenager, my brother built a slot car racing track in our basement, and I got a picture of that I was going to show you, but I didn't. But we filled up the whole basement with a slot car track. When I was a teenager, slot car racing, everybody thought there was going to be like bowling alleys. There was going to be one in every city, and so we had a slot car racing club. My preacher and two of my elders and my brother and I and one other fella was involved in the slot car deal. And out of six of us, four of them worked on their cars more than they raced with them. I mean, there was a little electric motor about that size. They took the electric motor apart and rewound the motor. I think they put less winds on it. I don't know. But anyway, they rewound the motor so that it would burn up quicker, but it would run faster. And so every week they'd come in with these faster cars. And, you know, the preacher would come in all kind of fancy paint job. I just bought me one and put it around and said, let's race. Because I'm not a things person. But it took me a while to figure that out. It took me a while to figure that out. When I was 16 years old, my parents bought me a German Shepherd puppy. He was the great-grandson of N1010 IV. That was on TV, those of you who are old enough to remember that, in the 50s. He was a great grandson of Rentin Tin IV. They bought me a German Shepherd puppy. I borrowed a book from the church, from the school library, on how to train a dog, how to obedience train a dog. I don't know what the school library is doing with a book on how to train a dog. But anyway, I borrowed it and then later bought that book. And I trained the German Shepherd dog. As he grew up, I trained him, obedience trained him, and won three obedience degrees from the American Kennel Club. And before I got the puppy, I'd never seen an obedience trained dog except on TV. I didn't even know what I was doing. And it amazed me that I could read the book, go in the yard, and do what it said, and it worked. Absolutely amazed me. I mean, I was just flabbergasted that I could just read the book, try it, and it worked. I'm still doing it. I read the book, try it, and it works. Every time. So I found out, didn't know I found out, but I found out I'm an information person, not a things person. I mean, when I try to work on something, it always comes out worse. Always. My wife is the handyman in our family. You know, she's the one who wants to go to Home Depot and all those places. And I'm bored stiff because I don't do all that. I'm not any good at that. Just no good at all. But to learn that, that's the way God made me. Now, I could sit at home and mope and say, I wish he'd have made me some other way. I wish I could do something. I wish, and I do a little bit when I go to Home Depot. I wish, boy, that's, I would really like to make something like that. And I love cars, so I made me a little display for my cars. And then we had it in the basement because I'm ashamed to show it. And I worked on that thing. Boy, it had a great design, everything. I had it fixed up with a little three layers so you could, three steps so you could display three rows of cars and everybody could see them. Had a little compartment in the box back where I could keep all these extras. It looked terrible. I mean, I'm not a things person. I'm an information person. And boy, it took me a long time to find that out. But every one of you are gifted in one of these areas. Usually you're very good in one of them, okay in one of them, and very poor in the third one. What you need to do is to bring the lowest two up to acceptable level. And there are certain things you have to do. I don't care if you don't know anything about things. There are certain things you have to do. So you had to bring them up to acceptable level. And then you play to your strengths. I had a friend one time said, what you need to do is spend your life working on your weaknesses. I said, no. Don't spend your life working on your weaknesses. You'll never get them up to any kind of standard. Never. What you need to do is bring your weaknesses up to where they're acceptable, and then you need to play to your strengths. You need to concentrate and focus on your strengths. That's where you need to spend your time. That's the way God made you. Okay? As much as possible, do what you do best and let others do the rest. Now, it's not possible every time, but as much as possible, do what you do best and let others do the rest. The P, S-H-A-P. S is for what? H is for what? A is for what? P is for personalities. For personality. There are four types of personalities. And a lot of different, you can get much more complicated than this, but this is simple that most of us can understand. There are four types of personalities. And most of the time, you can pick out that person's personality from like age 3 or 4 or 5. You just know what their personality is. You just know whether they're going to be a dominant, in-charge type person, or whether they're going to be an inspiring, talking, having fun type person, or whether they're going to be a steady person that just kind of there. You don't notice them a lot. They're always just there, and always they do most of the work, by the way. But nope, they don't get a lot of the credit because they don't talk about what they did. And the competent type people like myself, who if they're not careful, depressed all the time. The dominant person, the D personality, wants to be in control. And most of the time, if they're not in control, they're not there. They either take over and run the show or they leave. And most of the time, they're right. They do a good job. They'll worry you to death, but they do a good job. I'm married to one. And you just get out of the way and let them do it. Because they do it. They want to be in control. And most of them are not team players. They're not good on a team. They're good in charge, but they're not very good working with anybody else. Because their ideas are better. At least they think they are. And so the dominant type. The inspiring type person is the person who's just fun to be around. He's a party. I mean, he's having a good time all the time. Any way you put him, just don't make any difference. I mean, you can have a work day, and you think we're not working, we're joking. We're just goofing around, laughing and goofing off and all that kind of stuff. You know, you put him in the nursery, and he takes three other adults with him to keep one baby, and they just have a good time in the nursery. The steady type person is the person who never wants to have conflict. They don't like conflict. They don't like conflict at all. And the dominant type person, he loves conflict. If he's not in conflict with somebody, he goes out and makes some conflict. But the S personality, he doesn't like conflict. He'll do anything to keep from being in competition or in conflict with somebody else. They've done a lot of studies and so forth. These type people, if they're not careful, will even commit crimes so they won't have to conflict with the person who's trying to dominate them and tell them what to do. But they're fantastic people. Abraham was this kind of personality. Fantastic person, because they do most of the work. They do most of the work in the church because they're willing to do it. Somebody say, do this, they just do it. The dominant person, they say, do this, and they say, why am I to do it? Why don't you do it? You know? But the steady type person just does it, and they're happy doing it. They're satisfied doing that. The competent type person, what he wants in life is perfection. And he has a lot of problem with depression. Guess why? Nothing's perfect. Nothing. I mean, nothing is perfect. And that's what he wants in life, everything to be perfect. I always joke and say, you know, if I ever have to have surgery, I want a C personality being the surgeon. Because he wants everything done exactly right. He crosses all the T's and dots all the I's. I don't want an I personality doing the surgery. You know why? In the middle of the surgery, he'll probably go off talking with the nurse. And they go in some corner talking to each other. So each personality has its strengths and its weakness. And you need to know what yours are. You need to know what personality you have. And you don't need to be upset because that's the personality you got. You know, you go around and say, I wish I was like somebody else. No need. There's nothing you can do to change it. Now, I tried one time. I'm a C personality. I am very quiet. I'd sit in the corner type deal. Want everything to be perfect, everything to be just right. I don't go to ministers' meeting very often, but one day I decided to go to ministers' meeting, and I was going to be inspiring. I was going to speak to every minister there and all that kind of stuff. And I did it. I did it. I was like the most outgoing person out of there. I came home and had to sleep for 4 hours. It wore me out. I mean, it just wore me out. Just being that friendly and outgoing to all these people. So, but I believe God wanted to use you the way he made you, so you need to figure out what your personality is. The fifth one is experience, S-H-A-P-E, experience. The experiences you've had in your life, the educational experience, the vocational experience, the spiritual experience, their hurtful experiences, all these God can use to help you to be what he wants you to be. If you've ever been through tough times, you can help people going through tough times. Right? If you've ever served the Lord and then drifted away and realized what you've done, you can help a person who's in the process of drifting away. So the experience you've had influences who you are. Thank God for your giftedness. God made you in a special way. And he wants to use you the way he made you. He wants to use you the way he made you. You are here for a purpose. There are two or three reasons why I'm against our public school teaching evolution. The main reason I'm against evolution is because it's wrong. But another reason is that evolution teaches that you're an accident of nature. You're just an accident. And see, I believe every one of you, God made you special, that you have a purpose. There's a reason why you are here. And God made you that way. Isn't that something to be thankful for? I mean, that's just something to be thankful for, that God made me that way. Thank God for your giftedness. Thank God for your giftedness. I want to ask you to do three things. One is, I want you to take a spiritual gifted test. And I those cards that kept falling out of your bulletins when you took them, I'm sorry for that, but those cards, it looks like a business card, it looks like my business card, but if you'll turn it over on the back, it gives you a internet address where you can take a free personality test, a free spiritual gifts test. Everybody see that? You got those little cards in your bulletin? Okay. And again, I apologize. I know they fall out, and I realize that. In fact, I picked up two or three off the floor myself today. So some of you don't have one in there because it fell out of your bulletin. But there are more bulletins back there. You can get one. So here are some addresses on where you can take those tests. And don't depend on just one test. Try to take it at two or three different times in your life and take them from different places if you can find them. The third thing I want you to do, what was it, two things? Spiritual gifts test, personality test. The third thing I want you to do is I want you to make a list and maybe even a paragraph list of seven different things you've done in your life that brought you great joy. Not talking about what brought you great money or what everybody else said was success. I want things that you did that brought you great joy. That really, really just thrilled you. I was able to do that. It may be you built a deck on your house. Or maybe that you taught the nursery or the Sunday school, and it just thrilled you to do that. Whatever it is, make a list of seven of them, and then you can figure out, as you look at those seven, if you think about what you did, most likely the ones that brought you to great joy would show that you were either a people person or a things person or an information person. Things that you've already done that help you, and that'll help you, and that'll also help you as far as your heart. This is what I'm interested in. This is what excites me. You know, I know the missionary rally is in town this week, and I've known people who love missions. Just you know, they would let the local church go broke as long as we gave money to missions. You know, and I know other people, it's almost impossible to create any interest in missions in them. They're just not interested in that. But write down what you did, what brought joy and happiness to you. Not what other people said was successful, not what made you the most money, but what brought you the greatest joy. You put that together with the personality test and the spiritual gifts test, and that'll begin to see, this is where I'm gifted. This is where God can use me. There are all kinds of places that God can use you. God needs elders, deacons, Sunday school teachers, youth workers, nursery workers, yard maintenance people. He needs people to prepare communion. Let me stop right there. One of my disappointments, and this ought not to be a disappointment at all, but it just amazes me that we put up a list to ask people to prepare communion. It takes 15 minutes before church and 15 minutes after church, and it is the central part of our worship. It may be the most important thing anybody does is prepare that. And people won't sign up. I guess we have nobody gifted in preparing communion. but it just bothers me because I think Christians ought to be service-oriented. I think we ought to want to do stuff. Men to serve on Sunday morning. Ought to be people standing in line said, I would like to have the joy of serving the Lord's Supper to people in my church. What a joy that ought to be. Youth sponsors, people who help with the youth, people who send cards. You ever thought about, boy, when you well and everything's going great, somebody send you a card, no big deal. I mean, you appreciate it, but it's no big deal. But if you're sick and things are going wrong, things are really down in the dumps, and you get a card from somebody, that means a lot. That means a lot. And many people who say, I can't do anything, could send cards. Cost you 44 cents now. After January the 22nd, going to cost you 45 cents, so send it now. You could just invite people to church. It's okay. Just invite them to come to church. You could visit senior citizens. People tell me all the time, nobody comes to see me. Nobody comes to see me. They want somebody just to come. What do you need? What do you want me to come for? I'm lonely. I just want somebody to talk to. Just come see me. Greet people sitting in your area of the church. People always sit in the same area. Your area ought to be your area. If anybody new sits in that area, you ought to go talk to them. Get to know them. Get to know everybody who sits in your area. Sing specials. Y'all talk about my grandchild all the time. I know you're just interested in him, but you talk about him. My grandchild is the only one, that when I sing to him, he does not say anything about it. He's just 4 months old, but he still doesn't say anything about it. He doesn't gripe or complain or leave the room like most people do. So I sing to him. Guess what I sing? You want me to demonstrate? Here we go. You ready? I'm going to demonstrate what I sing to my grandchild, and my grandchild doesn't say anything, doesn't gripe or complain or anything. Looks at me a little strange sometimes, but doesn't say anything. Jesus loves Zeke, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves Zeke. Yes, Jesus loves Zeke. Yes, Jesus loves Zeke. The Bible tells me so. That is the first time I've ever sung in public. But you have to thank God for your giftedness. That God, I know you're going to go ahead and say, Lee's not gifted in singing, but you ought to thank God for your giftedness. That God has gifted each one of you. You are special. You are special. Discover your giftedness. Develop your giftedness. Practice your giftedness. And today, I want you to be thankful that God gifted you. God has something He wants you to do. Once in a while, I'll run across a person that I can be with them for 5 minutes and tell you like that what God wants them to do. There are other people that I've spent months trying to figure out what God wants them to do. And I said, I don't have a clue, God. I don't know. I know, I believe with all my heart there's something God wants you to do, but I don't know what it is. But you just need to figure out. Do those three things. Spiritual gifts test, personality test, and write those seven things. Write what you've done that really brought joy to you. And then go back and study it and say, did I use my people ability or my things ability or my information ability? See, I read a book about training a dog and trained him. And prove that I trained him. I passed the American Kennel Club test. He did. And got 3 obedience degrees. So I know I did it. I didn't have any help. Nobody else told me how to do it. I'd never seen one before. And what I learned was that I can read a book, follow its instructions, and it works. See, Lee, that's a big jump from training a dog to living a Christian life. No, it just showed I'm an information person. And really fascinating because I'm an information person that's not an intellectual. Once in a while, many information persons are real intellectuals. You ever listen to them teach or preach? They start preaching above my head and go up from there. You know, but God had gifted them with intellect. That's great. When I was in school in the 70s, 72 to 76, one of the most famous Christian church preachers, not all church preachers, but Christian church preachers, was a man by the name of Wayne Smith. And in 4 years in Bible college, every time we were going to have a special speaker, everybody wanted to invite Wayne Smith from the Christian church. Wayne Smith, he was from Lexington, Kentucky. Well, when Wayne Smith preaches, when he gets in the pulpit, the first thing he does is says, this sermon came from, and he'd tell you where he got the sermon from. He adds a few jokes, and then he preaches somebody else's sermon. He said the Lord made some of them to write them and some of them to preach them. And he was a great preacher. He built one of the biggest Christian churches in America. And later I found out things about him. He was a people person. He spent all his time out among people, visiting, knocking on doors, and joining the Lions Club and all that kind of stuff. Built a great church because he knew where his ability was. He didn't say, I'm a preacher, so I got to spend all of my time preparing these sermons. No, he said, there are a lot of people who prepare sermons. I just got to preach them. That's all I got to do. And he did a great job. Just find out where God gifted you, wherever that is. Wherever God gifted you, and then start using that. Be thankful that God gifted every one of you. We're not all the same. Thank goodness for that. But God gifted you. You are special. You have a purpose. You have a reason for being here.